Yeah. It's my pleasure to be here. I was given the assignment and accepted it to talk to an audience about the basics of stirrup, to an audience which a large fraction of has heard little, if anything, about stirrup. I see some experts, and for those experts I will have some possibly some new results or some more interesting comments in the end. So the first part is really about the basics and the potential of that. So I'm not a quantum information person. That does not prevent us from working on tools for quantum information. And essentially, and this will be towards the end of the talk, I will show application of this in controlling qubits and higher dimensional objects. And this is not only about population transfer. So assume we have a three-level system, and this is and the population is initially in level one, and we have some radiative coupling to a level three through a decaying state, level two, and the mission is to transfer all the population into level three. That means losing no of the population, despite none of the population, despite the fact that we are going through a decaying state. We can go beyond that, and we also can control the amplitude in a superposition state. So that means we again have all the population in the initial state one. We do some coupling to other levels using polarization to control individual couplings. And then we can not only control the amplitudes and measure them, but also the phases. And this, of course, relates to some objects which are of interest to quantum information. So just to give you as a reference or remind you of this very simple scheme of population transfer in a two-level system. And I have here's a two-level system. And I represent this by the state vectors. I already have added a third vector because we will go to a third level. And then if you apply a laser pulse, you know what the state vector, which is initially aligned to state one, does. It does Rabi oscillations. And so let's just move it. And you see the population goes up, comes down, goes up again. So this is well-known Rabi oscillations. If you want to keep it in the upper state, you will have to stop it at the right time, for instance like this, pretty successful, but of course it is sensitive. So this essentially means you have applied a pi pulse, but this is only a two-level system. You can of course combine this, such pi pulses, in a three-level system, where we first apply exactly a pi pulse to rotate the system into state two, and then another pi pulse to rotate the system into state three. And of course you already know what's going to happen. So this is the first rotation, but you see you put all the population into state two, and that means you lose a lot of population during the transfer process because it decays, and some of that will end up in state three. So this is only for reference. So these population transfers can be done, and and people do this in NMR, but it's very difficult in the optical regime where we have a fast decay. And just to jump ahead, I will show you now what stirrup does. It's again the same level system. We have the state one where the initial population is here, and so absorb only the blue arrow, which is a state vector which describes where the population is, state two and state three. And as has already been mentioned earlier in this conference, in the stirrup we apply this Stokes pulse. This is the pulse which couples these two levels first and then the second pulse. So just without giving any explanations, I simply show you what stirrup does. Oops, this was too early. Why don't I see? Here it is. So time goes on, nothing happens. The Stokes pulse is already on, nothing happens. Now, as soon as the pump pulse comes on, we have the rotation of state one to state three. And you see this rotation is in a plane perpendicular to state 2, meaning that at no time do we have population in state 2. Simply, I do it again, simply showing what STIR-UP does. So watch again here, the pump, the Stokes laser is on, nothing happens. As soon as the pump laser is on, which couples to the level, which carries the population, the state vector moves, and we nicely carry it over into level 3, and no population in level 2. So let's try to understand the physics behind that, why this happens. Well, before describing the physics behind it, let me show you some experimental results. This is from really more than 10 years ago. All the experiments I'm describing are about the NEON system, because it carries a nice multi-level system with convenient laser wavelengths which we can use. So there are two metastable systems, states, and these are decaying states, and we transfer the population from this level through the decaying state into that level, and at the end we will create superpositions of up to 3 degenerate states there. So this is the typical experimental setup. We have an atomic beam source. It's a neon source. It's a discharge source, which provides some molecule and some atoms in the metastable state. We do optical pumping, essentially to deplete all the population in this level. So what enters the experimental region here is a neon metastable beam with exclusively this level populated, which is in J equals 0 state. Then we apply the two, we do not apply these lasers. These are CW lasers. So the atoms pass through, and by passing through, they see a time dependence of the interaction, and the Stokes laser comes first, and we can observe the fluorescence from this intermediate level. And then we detect what we have finally transferred into the final level by laser-induced fluorescence. So this is how these experiments are done. And here are typical examples. Here I show the final level population as we tune the pump laser frequency across this resonance. So as we do that, forget about this Stokes laser for a minute, as we tune this laser across the frequency of the laser across this resonance, this will be populated, and some population will reach this level by spontaneous emission, and this is this broad background which you see. So it's a saturation broadened line. But somewhere, we hit the two-photon resonance. So this one, in this particular experiment, this laser was not exactly tuned to resonance. So when we hit the two-photon resonance, this needle shoots up, and it means that much more population is transferred into this level. You can calibrate that, and you find that this is very close to 100%. So if all the population is transferred from here to there, nothing can decay, of course. And this is what we see when we look at the fluorescence from the excited state. So here we then again see, as we tune the pump laser frequency across this resonance, we see this broad fluorescence peak, but exactly at two-photon resonance, the fluorescence disappears. We have a dark resonance, or we have prepared a dark state or a trap state, and in more careful experiments, this can be as low as 0.5% or even less of the initial fluorescence decay. So this essentially is the features, and what is really amazing is that you prepare these dark states despite the fact that the interaction with the two lasers can be 10 times, even 100 times longer than the radiation lifetime. So this, we really prepare a state that decouples from the radiation field. That's for a trap state. In a different configuration, we can steer the population into a particular M state. For instance, in this configuration, to make sure that we have a uniform quantization axis, which is always the quantization axis, the propagation axis of the Stokes laser, also in the later slides. So we have the pi polarization coupling to the m equals 0, and we have the sigma plus polarization coupling to m equals minus 1, and we observe by laser-induced fluorescence the population in this level. And this is the result. Again, as we tune the pump laser frequency across this one, some population reaches this level by fluorescence, which gives this broad background, broad line. But exactly on two-photon resonance, everything goes into the final state. So two-photon resonance is relevant for this process, and we will see that nothing else really is relevant except the two-photon resonance and sufficient coupling strength. So now, what is behind this process? Why does it work? Essentially, it's a very simple and well-known principle that is behind it, or effect that is behind it, namely the outer town splitting. And the outer town splitting is also behind the suppression of absorption, like is relevant for electromagnetically induced transparency. And we also invoke the principle of adiabatic passage. These two elements are essentially all you need to know in order to understand why do we have this very efficient transfer process. Again, some very basic features. We have our three-level system here. We have coupling by the pump laser. We have the coupling by the Stokes laser. And, of course, the coupling is measured by the Rabi frequency. The coupling strength is measured by the Rabi frequency. And the Rabi frequency has to be sufficiently large to provide essentially saturation, so lots of Rabi cycling, if we had only a two-level system. But it should be sufficiently small to really allow each field, here it's only one, to address one pair of levels. So this field only talks to this pair of levels, and this field talks only to that pair of levels. This is, of course, satisfied when we have this. So the selectivity is provided either by frequency selectivity or by polarization. So also by polarization, you can make sure that you only talk to a given pair of levels. And as I said, we need a large pulse area, many Rabi cyclings in a two-level system. That means then we have adiabatic evolution. Again, a little bit more detail. This is, again, the three-level system in the bare state representation. And most of you will be familiar with the dress state presentation, but just a few remarks on that. Because we have very strong coupling, we have to include the radiation field. It's not a small perturbation. And therefore, essentially, in the energy, in counting the energies, we add the photons which are absorbed or emitted. And if we do this, and we are on resonance here, if we add the photon which is emitted to level 3, we end up exactly where level 2 is. So if we only consider this pair of levels now in the dress picture, they are essentially two degenerate states because we simply have added the photon energy. And we can probe this by tuning the laser frequency across this level or across this pair of dress levels. And then what we see is exactly what you would expect, a Lorentzian line profile. Now, if we make this pump laser, Stokes laser, very strong, we have the splitting of this degeneracy. Like when you have two pendula, which have the same frequency, the same energy, you couple them, they split. This is exactly what is behind this outer town splitting. So there are now a linear combination of the state 2 and state 3. So what would we expect? As a spectroscopist, of course, you would say you have a pair of levels and you would expect two Lorentzian line shapes superimposed. And that's a reasonable guess. So the next question is, what intensity would you expect in the middle? Is it just the addition of the two photon of the two line shapes? Well, the answer is no. Exactly in the middle, it's zero. And the reason is very simple, again, behind this, because these are not eigenstates or eigenstates of the atomic Hamiltonian. They are created by a coherent interaction. And because they are created by a coherent interaction, there is a phase relation between the transition dipole moments. And they are exactly 180 degrees out of phase. So when you are in the middle, they cancel. And this is why in the middle between these levels you have exactly zero, you have no absorption. And this is essentially one of the keys to understand why the Schirra process does work. And you see the connection to EIT processes. Experimentally, this can be easily observed. So we have our neon beam, we have a strong, large Stokes beam, and in the middle we shine a pump laser beam, much smaller, only to make sure that all the photons that interact with the neon beam, the blue photon, see more or less the same red photon, intensity of the red photons. So this is in the bare state, and that's in the dress state picture. And therefore, we do expect a doublet, and the doublet is large. If the pump laser, if the Stokes laser power here is large, it is smaller. If the Stokes laser power is smaller, and here you see really that in the middle, it is exactly zero. So it's also confirmed easily experimentally. well, maybe not so easily, but it's clearly demonstrated experimentally. Now let's put things together. And I have now a sequence of slides of this type, which really leads you through the various stages of this coherent population transfer process. So first of all, we have the Hamiltonian. We make life simple, that everything is on resonance. That means this is not detuned from the resonance, this is not detuned from the resonance. This actually is the most surprising case that for the fact that it really works. But so all the essential physics can be discussed in this for this case. And the Hamiltonian is easily understood, since the first line gives a coupling of level 2 with level 1. Therefore, we have the Rabi frequency here. The second line gives the level 2 coupling with 1 and 3. Therefore, we have the pump and the Stokes line here. And the third line gives coupling between 2 and 3 again. And these, in the complete picture, include the phase of the lasers. And if you look for the eigenstates of this Hamiltonian, you find the free eigenstate for the free dress states, Bayer states. It's the linear combination of the Bayer states. And it has all three components here. It has all three components there. But this is the state of interest. It has only the component 1 and 3. That means no component of state 2, which is the leak, since as soon as we have a component of 2, we will lose our system. We will lose at least part of our system. So that is the state of interest. And the essential parameter is this mixing angle. And actually, we can control this mixing angle. Again, a very simple calculation shows that this mixing angle is exclusively given by the ratio of the Rabi frequencies. And that means if the Rabi frequency of the pump laser is initially zero, the mixing angle is zero. And that means this trapped state has is identical to state 1. If the Stokes laser is zero, which is at the end of the interaction, then the mixing angle is 90 degrees, is pi over 2, and therefore this trapped state has exclusive character of state 3. So this already shows how this transfer process is about. We essentially control this mixing angle. And here I show the typical timing for this Dirac process, Stokes laser and pump laser, and this is the mixing angle. So initially, the Stokes laser is strong, and the pump laser is weak or zero, and therefore we have mixing angle zero, and at the end we have 90 degrees. And now let's go through the sequence. This is for bare states, and we have no intensity. Then the eigenvalues are initially degenerate, and they are degenerate in the dress state picture. And this, again, just to remind you, we add the photon energies here, and this makes all the three states degenerate, and this is what we see here. And the mixing angle is zero, and all the population is in the initial level. Now, let's move on. We have this coupling, and all the population is in this level. This Stokes laser causes some Rabi splitting, outer town splitting, which we see here. So these two components are easily identified as outer town components of the level 2 and 3. And we also can see that this level is not affected at all, so that the energy of the level which does not change has to be associated with level 1. So that is the initial phase. So essentially, the mixing angle has not changed yet. The population cannot flow out of the system because there is no coupling of the state 1 to the rest. Now, let's have the pump laser come turned on. So the pump laser is weak, and you would expect that the pump laser now is absorbed. But because of the outer town splitting and the protection of the absorption due to this outer town splitting, the pump laser is not absorbed. And therefore, we do not populate state 2. And the mixing angle begins to deviate from 0. The population begins to flow out of the system. So we already have a little bit here. Then we go through the sequence. Both lasers are more or less equal. So we have already equally shared the population. We have a relatively large splitting of the outer towns components. We have a mixing angle of 45 degrees, and half of the population is already in the final state. And at the end, now, The Stokes laser is down, is weak. The pump laser is still strong. Now the pump laser does the outer town splitting. Yeah. Therefore, here we have the pump laser outer town splitting. And normally we would expect that all this population which has reached this state is now pumped out by the Stokes laser, which is still there. But again, this process is now prevented because of the outer town splitting between level 1 and 3. So again, outer towns protect the system to 1 and 3. So the S radiation is not absorbed, and we have nearly 90 degrees mixing angle, and the population is all over there. Okay, and at the end, we have only the Stokes laser, and there is no dynamics anymore. Everything has reached this level. There is still a little bit of outer town splitting, and this can now be brought to zero, and everything and the process is completed. But we see here now that it is now level 3. That is not. So at the end, we can identify this zero energy value, so the energy eigenvalue which has not changed, with level 3. Initially it was, and then it was level 3. So we see already that through the control of this mixing angle, we have changed the character of this state with the zero energy eigenvalue from state 1 to state 3. So, and this is the adiabatic passage process. It has to be sufficiently slow. So the criteria, and this may be a superposition, and this is what I will. So the conditions are: we need adiabatic evolution process to be effective, omega F means essentially it's this Rabi splitting here, and the tau essentially means that it's the time where both fields are on. And if this is large compared to unity, then adiabatic conditions. Okay, so this is coherent population trapping. I think I will skip over the next few slides. I give you now two applications without really going into details, just telling you what this process can perform. Initially, we developed the technique for chemical dynamics studies, but the technique, of course, is far much further reaching. So multiphoton processes can also be used for tailored momentum transfer. What do I mean with this? We take a J equals 2 level. We couple this with sigma plus, minus, sigma plus, sigma minus light. So this is a Stoke radiation, and this is a pump radiation. And the transfer process even works in these multi-level systems. But we want to transfer the population into that level. This is an absorption process if we start here, and this is an emission process. So the absorb photon, the atom gets a momentum kick. If we emit a Stokes photon, the atom gets momentum recoil. So if these two lasers come from directions, both of these momenta are in the same direction. So we have in total four momenta, photon momenta, exchanged from the radiation to the atom. So apply the Stokes laser first, then both of them, and then the pump laser. And this transfers all the population from here to there. This is not yet the same system, so we can transfer it back. We simply switch the and Stokes lasers in the direction, and again the population, the momentum transfer is in the same direction. And and this is really there. So essentially, it's a mirror, and this can be easily implemented by using one single laser beam, using lambda over 4 plates and CATS eye reflectors to create this arrangement, where the sigma plus, sigma minus radiation fields, both in as well as in the directions of the laser beams, are. And therefore we do have some heavy deflection, and this deflection can be easily seen. So this is just the beam profile. Here we see the deflected beam, and fully separated from the original beam, which we still see here, because there are some neon 22 isotopes where we don't talk to, so they are not. Another application is a beam splitter And if you have a mirror and a beam splitter, you can build interferometers off of that. What's going on here? I tried to move, but since this is annoying. Okay, I just put it on this side and hope it's better. Okay, so this is now a beam splitter where we couple with a pi radiation to the upper state and then with sigma plus and sigma minus to plus and minus one. And again, this is associated with a momentum kick. And if sigma plus and sigma minus come from different directions, they get a momentum kick in different directions. And this is what we see. And actually, it's a variable beam splitter. We can have sigma plus, sigma minus coinciding, or one before the other, or after the other. And the result is like this. So if they are coinciding, this is the initial beam profile, and we see the beam splitting. It's a one-to-one beam splitter. If they are not coinciding, we can either make this peak large or that peak large. So it's a variable beam splitter. Simply by changing the spatial variation, you can steer the you can steer the flow into either one or the other directions. Okay, now I want to make a little closer connection to this community that is more interested in quantum information. Let's see, I still have, a couple of minutes. Right. So you know this object very well. This is a qubit, and let's expand this to up to five component system. And what we want to do, and I will show you how to do it, we want to control the amplitudes, at least the ratio of these amplitudes, and we want to control the phases, at least the only thing of interest is, of course, is the relative phases between these components. That means we want to have full control of this up to five component quantum objects. So far we have done three, but we know in principle how to do the five thing. So again, just to remind you, we had this before. The initial population is in state one. Then we couple through an intermediate state to a number of final states, and then we can distribute the population or the amplitudes over these levels, and as I mentioned, we also control the phases through the laser phases. And important is here that we are talking about degenerate states. Mostly when people talk about coherent superposition, they talk about non-degenerate states, and that means we have wave packets. Here we have degenerate states, and there is no dynamic phase. And this is, of course, what is interesting here. There's no dynamic phase. It's a stationary object. And also, we are not working with single quantum objects. We are working with a stream of objects which are prepared identical. And so we have infinite amount of time to measure them. So it's not a quantum measurement problem experiment. So we can measure it as accurate as we want. Again, just to explain the Schatz diagrams, which I will use, we have our three-level system here, and this is a J equals 2 state, therefore it has 5 components. This is a J equals 1 state, therefore it has 3 components. And simply to show the couplings, the radiative couplings, a little bit more convenient, I always put this level up there. So the ground state is on top, only for presentation purposes. So our ground state, of course, is down there, but in the graph, I put it up there. And for instance, if we have this kind of laser arrangement, sigma plus, sigma polarization and pi, means we have the coupling between from this level to m equals minus 1 state, and then this laser polarization is decomposed into left and right polarization because everything is referenced to this quantization axis, which leads to this kind of tripod system, and it's not complete since we have also this coupling, therefore it's an extended tripod. We also have these couplings, but these don't matter because if the process is adiabatic, we never put population in here, and therefore there's no population which reaches this lambda system. So we only have to think about the three-level system. In principle, you can address all of these levels by a more complicated scheme, and so we are interested in the superposition of these five levels, and we want 8 parameters, that means four amplitude ratios and four relative phases. And we do have enough control knobs. If we use this arrangement, we have four laser fields, and we have two parameters for laser field, essentially given by the ellipticity, the ratio of these two components, the intensities, and the relative phases. So we do have enough knobs to, with this kind of laser arrangement, to prepare these superposition states. Okay, a specific one we already have seen. If we have this arrangement with the linear polarization parallel, it's essentially a three-level Sirab system. Or if we have this one, as I already mentioned, we have this extended tripod coupling, and everything is coherent. So we have these three levels superimposed, and we can control the phase between those by controlling the orientation of this linear polarization. Since if I rotate the linear polarization, it means I change a phase between left and right circular polarized light. Okay, now how do we measure the phase? And this is the last topic now. It's a little bit involved at first glance, but I try to steer you through. So we have the stirrup zone here, where we make the process. And there we prepare the coherent superposition state. Then we have a filter zone, no, and we control the phases by controlling the direction of this linear polarization. Then we have a filter process with a laser, which essentially does optical pumping. And what survives the optical pumping is detected here by laser-induced fluorescence. So why do we have this, or what does the filter process do? Well, let's talk about quantization axis. So I take this quantization axis here into this detection region. I just shifted it parallel, nothing happens. Now I rotate the quantization axis by 90 degrees. Doing so, I map my initial M-level population into a different M-level population with reference to this quantization axis, and in this quantization axis I do my optical pumping. And then I vary a phase, and I rotate this, and as I rotate this phase, I observe what survives here. So the optical pumping process will be affected by this rotation, and actually, as we will see, this simply adds a controlled phase, which we need to retrieve the unknown phase here. So this is the geometry. Let's show you a few results, and then I will come back to the phase measurement problem, since whenever you measure phase, you do some kind of interferometry. And I want to show you where the interferometer is hidden in this system. It's not really obvious. So if we do such a measurement now with an incoherent superposition of the various states, then we see the laser-induced fluorescence, which does not depend on this angle alpha. And so as we change this angle alpha, we observe the fluorescence. If it's incoherent, there is no variation and there is no surprise. If it's coherent, we see a modulation. And if we, so this is again the fluorescence which we show here. And then we can change this angle chi, which sets the phase between sigma plus and sigma minus. So we change a phase, we change a phase again, we change a phase again, and then we see that we do see a phase change. And so from this phase change, we can retrieve or we can determine this initial phase. Let's verify this. And also there is amplitude information in the contrast, which I will not discuss. So just to verify that this process works, we have a preset phase here, and we measure and we plot the preset phase against the measured phase, and it's a nice correlation. The error bars are not yet impressive, but this is simply due to poor laser performance. So if we would use diode lasers or better systems, this could be much, much improved. Another way to control it, we can add a well-controlled phase by simply adding a controlled magnetic field in this region, and just by parallel to the Stokes laser axis. And again, we do expect the phase to change linear with a magnetic field, and exactly it does. And so this really works. The last item, now let's play some games, do some phase manipulation. Phase manipulation in the following sense. If we look at this extended tripod system and we look for the character of this state, here is the analytic solution. It's easily calculated, but we don't care about the details. So it's a superposition of these four states, and the initial phase is in here. And we could measure them, and we could measure them. Then I change a little bit the configuration here. That means I tune the pump laser off to photon resonance. If we pump it off to photon resonance, there is no coherent population transfer possible anymore. But still, we only needed to detune it from two photon resonance, and the two photon resonance is much, much smaller than the one photon resonance. That means we still pump a lot of, we pump all the population into this level. From there, it decays into this manifold. And then out of this manifold, for this given coupling pattern, we have again bright states and we have dark states. The bright states are pumped out, so they are lost, and the dark states remain. And these are our superpositions. And the dark states for this coupling scheme, it's now a coherent population trapping scheme, looks very similar. It has different amplitudes, but what is really important here is there is a phase change of this inner part by pi. So essentially, by controlling the frequency here, we can change the three-component superposition. We can change the phase of one of these components in these superpositions. And the question is, can we measure that? And having the question asked, of course, I have the answer yes, and here it is. And what we show here is the phase, the relative phase between the minus 2 and 0 component. The plus 2 component has the same phase difference, but the amplitude is so small so that it does not really matter. So for the stirrup case, on resonance, we are here. We are right on resonance, and we have a certain phase. If we now detune this from resonance, we have, as we saw, a different phase, and this corresponds to this region where we tune off resonance. And it's quite interesting to see, going from here to there, it only needs a 10 megahertz detuning. We are in one situation or in the other situation, and we make a phase change of pi. What is behind this phase change of pi? It's also relatively straightforward to see. So here, both of these these are populated from this state, and the population flows into minus zero, minus two, and zero, and that means both of them are driven in a stimulated emission process. And down here in the coherent population trapping, we only feed the population in here, and then the trapped state is determined by the dark state of this configuration alone. And therefore, these two levels are connected by an up process and a down process. So it's sort of intuitive that there is a phase change, and a phase change of pi. And this is exactly what we see here. Okay, if I have one or two more minutes, that's just enough. I want to at least give you an idea what is behind this phase measurement. And as I said, whenever you measure phase, there is an interferometer behind it. And I want to identify this interferometer now. And so this is simply to prepare you for the next slide. Here is our M equals zero system, the initial state. Here is our M prime system, the final state. And we will see how the population evolves. Initially, we have the population in M equals zero. Then we do apply a stirrup transfer, and it goes to plus or minus one. Yes, I do this now for a different coupling scheme because it's much simpler graphically to present. But the principle is exactly the same. So I use this coupling scheme where I talk about the coherent superposition of minus one and one. And then we do some rotations of our quantization axis, and this rotation distributes the M states, this M states, to the M states in the new quantization axis, and we observe population in that axis and retrieve the phase information from there. Just guiding you quickly through. Now we go in steps. So the initial population is in M equals zero. Now comes the stirrup process, and it does channel the population into plus and minus one. And the phase there is determined by the relative phase of the sigma plus and sigma minus radiation. And this is what we can easily control. So we can control the relative phase between these simply by rotating polarization. Then comes this alpha rotation. If you still remember, this was a rotation of the linear polarization. And this rotation was a rotation around the axis, which was parallel to the initial quantization axis. And if you do that, all you do is you add phase to the quantum states. 2 alpha, alpha, 0, minus alpha, minus 2 alpha. So, and adding this known phase in a periodic way is essential for retrieving the information. Now comes a better rotation. This was the rotation of our quantization axis by 90 degrees. And that means we map this population into the new quantization axis, and this is essentially given by the rotation matrix elements. So some of these elements may be zero, which I disregard here. So this M state maps into the M states of the final states in the new coordinate system. The same for M equals minus 2. And here we have the interference. So we have two paths, and we have the phase between here, and we have this phase added in a controlled way. So we will see a modulation of as a result of this interference, and the modulation will be affected by the phase we want to measure. And the same thing, of course, for the other levels here. And now this is the population in the rotated coordinate system. If we would observe all of that, we would sum over all the population, and we would see no modulation, of course. So whenever you look at two outputs at the interferomet at the same time, you see no fringes. And therefore, we have the filter laser, and this is what the filter laser does. It blocks the M equals minus, zero, and plus population levels, but it leaves out the plus the two and minus two. And this is what we detect at the end, and this is where we see the interference fringes. And as a function of this variable alpha, for the given rotation angle beta 2, which is just a fixed rotation, and from the phase of this one, we can retrieve the phase. So that is how we do the phase. Summary, I hope I have given you a brief a glimpse, at least, of the flexibility that we can have with Stirrup, of the control of population, momentum transfer, amplitude, and phase of components of superpositions. And there are many examples, for instance, collision dynamics and coherent control, and there is a nice poster by Aranga Bruma and Shapiro, who just one example how to make use of these kind of systems to control the outcome of a collision process through phases. There are metawave mirrors and beam splitters. You can make interferometers. You can prepare Fock states in superposition thereof. We haven't done it yet, but it can be done. You can store and retrieve phase information. You can transfer phase information between lasers, and many more examples. Okay, thank you.